Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And of course, I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Orlean Kula. And Orlean is the president of the California Eagle Forum and certainly a dedicated patriot who's been working very hard to educate people about this whole environmental scam, certainly about the Agenda 21. One about the sustainable development movement, but she's written a book recently going into the deception of the European Union and how, of course, this whole same techniques that were used in Europe to take away the sovereignty of the nations there is being used here in the United States to take away our freedom. And, of course, this is what's known as the Security and Prosperity Project program, and basically it has to do with forming a North American Union. Orlean, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Now, what's the title of your book?
It's called By Stealth and Deception.
By Stealth and Deception.
And the next title is USA Transformation and Its Parallel to the European Union.
And I think people have to understand that they're doing it all by stealth and deception. So you pick up the story there. And basically, of course, you, your husband was actually raised in Europe, and he has family over in Germany. And so he knows a great deal about how the European Union worked. Why don't you tell our listeners how they were able to sell the European Union and then the European currency and then, of course, eventually the European Parliament with the loss of sovereignty to the people of Europe?
Well, the first chapter of my book tells about my husband growing up in Germany and how, as a young lad, well, first of all, he was 2 years old when the Second World War was going on, and I start my story by telling how his mother and he had to flee when he was only 2 years old down into a bomb shelter because Mannheim, Germany, was being bombed. And when they came out the next morning, their entire apartment building had been destroyed. The only thing they had left was a clothes basket. And so he grew up with these terrible memories of war-torn Germany. The public schools, of course, taught the students how terrible war was and kept telling them it was because of nationhood and how evil nations were. And the best thing possible is if they could form some kind of a community of nations, then they wouldn't have war anymore. And, of course, they grew up hearing about the European Common Market and how wonderful that was, this great free trade agreement between countries of Europe. Then my husband came to the United States to finish his education. I met him in college, and then he went on to get his master's degree at a school called Fletcher International School of Law and Diplomacy, started by Tufts and Harvard University. And, of course, there he was taught even more how wonderful a European community would be. So this was an indoctrination he had throughout school as well as university.
And it does sound really good. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't have any more wars? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people could live in peace and prosperity and people could get along? You know, we just didn't have nationhood and wars. People don't understand. The people who are pushing for world government are the people who created the wars. They created the Spanish-American War, the Boer War, the First World War, the war to end all wars. They created the Second World War. They financed Adolf Hitler. They created Vietnam and Korea and the First and Second Gulf Wars. And they're about to plunge us into a war with Iran to bring about world peace. Isn't it sound wonderful? Peace and certainly a prosperity for all mankind after the next war. Well, you go right ahead, Orlean.
Well, it is amazing. In my book, I also have a chapter on the United Nations and how it was created and how it was promoted by saying we will be able to finally have world peace and this will end all wars. Well, since the United Nations has been established in 1945, we've had 144 wars. And obviously, they are not about peace at all. In fact, they seem to be a war-making organization. And that's just as you mentioned, there's a great deal of benefit for these elitist world bankers and people who believe in global government from war. They like to create wars. They get lots and lots of money from putting nations into debt. And of course, war always brings about debt for nations. And they also can bring about an amazing socialist agenda through war and totally change nations. And that's what war is all about for them as well.
And I think that's really so important, is to understand that they've really waged wars to change society. And of course, that was the significance of the interview I did with Norman Dodd, who directed the research for the Reese Committee that investigated the tax-exempt foundations back in 1954. And he tells the story, and you can hear that on in my secret government four-tape set, about sending one of his assistants, a Miss Catherine Casey, to the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, to where their records were stored. I mean, what a wonderful name, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. But there, of course, going through the records in 1908, she found out that they had been spending the entire year, the members of the board, talking about how to change the world. They decided the best way to change the world was war. So then in 1909 to 1910, they began planning on how to bring about a world war. And if you read the book we've kept in print for many years, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, you will find out the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace actually spent a great deal of money during the First World War to get America in that war. They felt that having America in the First World War would bring about peace. America entered the war. We prolonged it for years, probably. You know, 5 to 10 million additional people died unnecessarily, and how many were wounded, all because the great tax-exempt foundations, tying into this whole movement, were intent upon bringing about a war, because that's how you change the world. The tragedy is most people find it difficult to believe that anybody could intentionally want to bring about a war. And yet, of course, we can see this happening today as the American warships are steaming towards the Persian Gulf in preparation for what I fear, and I hope and pray I'm wrong, but I fear is going to be another major war.
That's so true. It kind of goes back to the book, 1984.
Well, you go right ahead there. And suddenly we were talking about the coming war. Orlean, you go ahead. And you were just saying, go right ahead with your thought.
When you read the book, 1984, by George Orwell, that's exactly what the people were told constantly, that their nations were in war, and the next morning they would have a total different enemy and a total different ally. But it was constant war, and that's exactly what they want for us, to always be at war, because they can use up lots and lots of money, put countries into debt, and change society.
And basically, if you remember George Orwell's 1984, there was a building that was called the Ministry of Truth, and there were slogans on the side of the building. One was freedom is slavery, but another one was war is peace. War is peace, and that's how they're going to bring about world peace, by taking us from war to war. And you say, that's crazy. We're not dealing with rational people, ladies and gentlemen. We're dealing with people who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. Go right ahead.
That's very true, Dr. Stan. And essentially that I have a whole chapter on world religion towards the end of my book as well, and that's they not only want to bring us towards a world government, a world financial system, a world military, but they want a world religion for us as well, and it certainly will not be a Christian religion. And they're very strong about this, and it's amazing how we see already Christianity being persecuted in so many places across the world. And of course, Islam is being promoted as they would like themselves to be the world religion. But I think it was you who told me that you really believe that in the end they are going to be fodder for the world government and their world religion.
Well, I fear that there's going to be a terrible slaughter of the Muslim people because they're the one group that have not dramatically reduced their fertility rate. I mean, certainly here in the United States, for the white population, the Anglo-Saxon traditional is about 1.6 children per family. But when you take all the people coming into this country from South America, the Catholics from Mexico and from South America, why the average fertility rate per family is about 2.1 children, which is just what you need to maintain the population. But these Muslims over there, they're having 5, 6, 8 children per family. You can have 4 wives. So, and unfortunately, we're dealing with organized evil. And I fear that they're going to use the coming war to kill an awful lot of Muslims, that I hope and pray that I'm wrong. But everything makes me believe that this is one of the major reasons for wanting to go to war with the Muslim world. And remember, we're going to only just have a little war with Iran. Oh, it's just going to be a little short war. But when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And so the prototype would be the Boer War, started in 1899. And everybody said, oh, this is just a Milner's Tea Time War. Milner was the High Commissioner of South Africa. And our boys will be home by Christmas, you know. Why, of course, those Boers, they couldn't stand up against the British Army. The people in England had thought this would be a little short war. They just didn't say which Christmas they were going to be home. And 3 bloody years later, with 100,000 British casualties, the war came to an end with the surrender of the Boers, but they weren't defeated in battle. It was just they killed the women and the children, and 28,000 died in the prison camps that were set up by Lord Milner and Cecil Rhodes and these other people who dedicated their lives to bringing world peace. And the way to bring world peace was to create wars. And they created the Boer War. And, of course, subsequently, their people, members of the secret society Cecil Rhodes created, have been in power for every one of the wars that's followed. But go right ahead.
Wow. I did not realize there were that many that were killed in the Boer War. Well,
that was 100,000 casualties. They weren't all killed, but they were incapacitated. They were wounded or became deathly ill and had to be taken out. But the British had 100,000 casualties.
That's amazing. Well, I do mention that, and I do mention the amazing power of Cecil Rhodes and his organization that he set up, and that's where the Rhodes Scholarships are coming from. And, of course, Clinton was one of those who received one of those scholarships and got thoroughly indoctrinated while he was in England, a little more than he had been before. So the Rhodes Scholarships are definitely teaching the same socialism that they would like for all of our people to understand for taking over the world. And that socialism is now being brought into our nation in such an amazing fast speed because of Obama, that we have had our nation transformed, and that's why I entitled the second title of my book, USA Transformation, and its parallel to the European Union. And that's what this is all about. They could not quite bring us to a state of a union under President Bush. We hadn't become socialized enough. You can't form a union of Canada, Mexico, and the United States when one country is not socialized and the other two are. So now, under Obama, we have almost 60% of our nation under nationalization, which will probably happen with cap and trade. And, of course, the biggest part was the health care, which put a sixth of our nation now socialized under nationalized medicine. And it's just amazing how quickly this happened on fast track under Obama. So we are definitely closer to where we could now be transformed. And the third title of my book is The Parallel to the European Union. I believe we are being brought to the same state as the European Union countries so that we can then be more closely knit with them. And there is a partnership that I do mention in my book called the Transatlantic Partnership that was formed when President Bush was in power, that is supposed to be completely finished in the year 2015. And this is what the European Union does whenever there is a union forming of other countries through a free trade agreement. They reach their big, long tentacle across the ocean to that community of nations or union and form this tight network with them as well. So they are really the instigators now behind world government. And the people, these countries are being forced into this partnership, even though they don't want to. And I mentioned how they used such big bully tactics when they were trying to get the Caribbean islands to form a network with them. And they're forming this with the African Union, with any group of countries that have formed some kind of a community. The European Union comes in to prod them along and form this tight network with them. So that's where world government is now being pushed, is from the European Union.
This is really a very, very subtle method they're doing it. Because first of all, the whole idea was to set up all these regional blocks. And this is part of a plan, first of all, the European Union, the North American Union, the South American Union, the Mediterranean Union, Near Eastern Union, the Far Eastern Union, the African Union. And then, of course, all of these are underway today. Most people don't understand. These people are very well organized. They control the wealth of the world. They're going step by step. But now, of course, they've been exposed. They've had to take a little step back as far as the North American Union is concerned. The Trans-America Highway, the NAFTA superhighway, has been set back. And certainly there's a growing awareness among people that we are being betrayed by our leaders, people who have sworn to uphold our Constitution, who hate it. And so basically, you talk about the security and prosperity. What is the official name of that?
It's the SPP, the Security Prosperity Partnership.
Okay. What can you tell us about it?
Well, this was the next step after NAFTA, just as the next step after the common market was forming the European Community. Our next step after NAFTA was forming the Security Prosperity Partnership. And anyone that actually found out about it and questioned it, they said, oh, well, it's just a little step further than NAFTA. Don't worry about it. That's what I was told by my congressperson, Mike Thompson, that, you know, this is nothing we have to be concerned about.
But this is what they did in Europe. I mean,
exactly.
They told people, this is only about trade. This is so we can have better trade, so you can buy things cheaper, so it'll be easier to travel back and forth. This has nothing to do with losing national sovereignty. And then, of course, they went along with it. And of course, what's wrong with increasing trade and being able to buy things cheaper? And then the next thing they said, well, of course, we're going to have a bureaucracy to look after this, and we're going to have just a parliament, and it's just going to be sure that this is the common market works well. And then they suddenly take away the currency. They have a European currency, and all this has to do with doing away with sovereignty. And it's all a lie. They know what they're doing. They're lying to the people. But most people are so gullible, they think, well, gee, he said that, he wouldn't lie to us. Of course they'd lie to them, because the stakes are so much bigger. They have to do with this one world government.
That's so true. I give several references in my book how the British people were lied to. They were, anyone that questioned, you know, you're not putting us into some kind of a union with European countries, are you? Oh, no, no, that's so silly. And anyone that actually used the word union before it was a done deal were ridiculed and scoffed at. But lo and behold, suddenly they found themselves in this union, and it was, by that time, it was too late to get out of it. And that's, there are now 27 nations in that European Union. Well, that's the same thing that's happening here. And anyone that questioned the SPP and what its ultimate goal, they were laughed at and scoffed at. But the ultimate goal is a North American Union. But as you mentioned, they are putting it on a little hold, and they're pretending it's dead on the wall and nothing to worry about. But it's going to come back when we're not looking.
Well, I think it's vitally important that people really understand what's going on. And they understand the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the SPP. They understand what's happening in Europe. And, of course, this is largely responsible for the financial collapse of so many of the nations in Southern Europe that no longer they determine their own destiny. It's decided by the bureaucracy that runs Europe.
What is happening to Greece right now, and and the other countries that belong to the European Union have to bail out Greece. But the remarkable thing is, even though we are not supposed to be part of their union, the United States is also supposed to bail out Greece. And I think it is because we have this European Union partnership already in place called the Transatlantic Network. And I have a section in my book about this and how it got started. And Senator Bob Bennett, this nice Republican from Utah, was the first chairman for the Transatlantic Network. And there was a whole variety of congresspeople that are part of this on our side, as well as with Germany and with other countries in Europe. And when people would ask about this, Senator Bennett would say, oh, we're just doing this in a very quiet way. The Senate doesn't need to know about this. It's not really like a treaty, so nobody has to have a vote about it. He used the words in a very quiet way.
Well, of course, fortunately, Senator Bennett got his comeuppance. He actually won't even be allowed to run for his reelection. He was simply voted down by the caucus there in Utah and is not even going to be a Republican candidate. And he betrayed his constituents. He was an internationalist and a liar and a deceitful gentleman. And what a tragedy.
That's so true. And I was so thrilled to hear that he was not going to be even the Republican nominee. So you can see these things are not very popular once people begin to find out about them. So that's why they keep them so hush-hush and try to do it by stealth and deception. So that's why I entitled my book, What I Did. And there is so much stealth and deception that's written about in this book. It's, the more I got into it, it was just amazing.
Well, of course, this whole thing, if people really don't understand, they're well away along the way to losing the sovereignty of our nation, because we have traitors, we have people who are subversives working at the highest levels of our government, and the media is covering for them.
That's so true. As you are well aware, the media, most of the heads of the media also belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers. So they take their marching orders from those above them in these organizations, and if something is not to be revealed, they keep it very quiet.
And I think it's vitally important that people understand what is going on. And Sydney Olean does an excellent job in this book of laying out the whole background of every aspect of this, because this is a multifaceted, Sydney, undertaking. And, of course, really, President Obama became the president, you had to actually lengthen the book, didn't you?
I did. It was all ready to be published a year ago, and it was half the size. It is now, and when Obama became president and things began to move so rapidly, I just had to keep including that. So I had to include 6 more chapters, and it's a much fatter book now. Like, I think your nice secretary called it a tome.
Well, but you did such a good job. It's very well written, ladies and gentlemen. I would recommend it to you because it's got some wonderful quotations and certainly very readable. I mean, it sort of flows, and that really is an art form. And so I really want to congratulate you on the excellent job you did on that book.
Well, thank you. As you have noticed, I quote you a lot in this book.
Well, I appreciate that. Look, did you get the endorsement that I sent you by email?
Yes, I did.
All right, hold on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Orlean. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Orlean Kula. She's written a book, By Stealth and Deception. It's really the story, of course, the European Union, and then how this concept is being used here in America to destroy the sovereignty of our nation by the subversive element working in Washington, D.C., that really wants to destroy our nation, destroy our Constitution. And so one day we will have the same freedoms that exist in communist China and in Mexico. And, of course, we will have the same living standards, as I always like to say. They want to certainly raise the living standards of the average American to that of the Mexican peasant, and then we'll all be happy and live happily ever after. If you have a question at all for Orlean, this is an excellent book. The subject really is the North American Union, the European Union, of course, which is responsible for the economic collapse that's occurring over there today. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Sydney, Arlene, as you've gone through this, why, I mean, as you get into this, it just seems so unbelievable these things could be going on. And the average American has no idea that step by step, by stealth and deception, they're taking away our freedom.
That is so true. I have the first chapter of my book also mentions the various methods of deception that they are using, and I found most of these start with D, and so I lumped them together in, I call them the 16D strategy for implementing a stealth plan. And it is amazing how they do this. Would you like to hear some of them?
I would certainly like to, and there were 16 Ds, so you go ahead.
There's deceive, deny, distract and divert, deride and discredit, degrade, dumb down, use disinformation, duplicity, delusion, divide and conquer, dialectic manipulation to create a crisis, Delphi technique to form consensus, depression, despair, desperation, devolution, and deluge.
Well, you can go right ahead and just take each one as you'd like to, because I think that you have to understand it is all deceit. It is all deception. If the American people knew it was happening, we would demand these people be tried for treason. Oh, but the trouble is they control the media, they control the legal system, they control the great industries, they control the banks, they control the corporations, they control the universities.
That's so true. Well, I think most people know what deceive meant. And, of course, I mentioned how they have deceived us by not even letting us know these things are going on. And then once we do find out, often they change the name. And the Security and Prosperity Partnership has now been changed to the North American Leaders Summit. The Transatlantic Highway has a new name. The Texas Corridor has a new name. So whenever you find out something is really happening, often that's the way they deceive you, is just by changing the name. The second one, deny. Of course, when you do find out this is happening, they deny it, and they will not own up to it whatsoever. And that, as you mentioned, they did this in Europe until the European Union was a done deal, and then they could no longer deny it. The third one, they distract and divert you. And all of the amazing things that have been going on are, so many of them are distractions. The constant attention on war and all the various wars that we're involved in, that keeps the media's attention and the people's attention away from so much of the socialist agenda that is happening in our nation. And, of course, I think this huge oil disaster that happened in the Gulf of Mexico, I think this is a big distraction as well. And, of course, they are then going to use that to promote their cap and trade and all else that they're trying to do with it. The fourth one is deride and discredit. And as we mentioned, anyone that talks about this, Phyllis Schlafly, who was one of the first people to find out about the Security and Prosperity Partnership, and Dr. Jerome Corsi, they have been ridiculed and put down because of their writings about it. And they will discredit anyone that they want to who speaks out against their agenda. Number five, degrade and devalue America. Many of our children growing up in the public schools never hear anything good about our country, because if you're going to change the American way of life to a socialist nation, you can't let the children have a feeling of pride and patriotism for their form of government now. If you're going to bring about Obama's hope and change, you want the students to be ashamed of what they have now, so they'll be more willing to accept his hope and change. And number six, dumb down.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment. If you have a question for Orlene, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. You go right ahead, Arlene.
Okay, I was on number 6 of the 16 D's of deception that are being used to promote the agenda that our government has. Number 6 was dumbed down, and I have written actually a second book that is to soon be published following this one called The Incremental Chipping Away of the Once Great USA. And I have a whole chapter on education in that and what has happened in our public schools, how our, especially civics and history, has been greatly dumbed down, and even the ability for children to read has been dumbed down. So many of our young people graduating from high school are graduating with a third or fourth grade reading level. And as far as vocabulary goes, I remember teaching world history and English in seventh grade. There was not one of my 5 classes of seventh graders that knew what the word what was the word? My whole book is written a deceive. They didn't know what the word deceive meant. And I was just amazed. I wrote on the board what they were supposed to write in their journal for that day. Instead of using silly questions, I would have them write beautiful quotations in their journals and write a little paragraph explaining what that meant. And the word, the quotation I had on the board was, "What a tangled web I weave when at first I practice to deceive." And there was not one of these seventh graders who knew what the word deceive meant. And I was just amazed. I finally let them know this is like telling a little white lie, and when you tell one lie, you have to support it with all these other lies, and then you saw their little heads nodding. They had such an experience. But that just is an example of how our vocabulary has been dumbed down.
And then it's so interesting. I've been part of my recent series of newsletters has to do with the poem, The Gods of the Copybook Heading. And basically, this is a poem by Kipling, but you know, back in the 18th century and the 19th century, they had copybooks. They would copy the things in, you know, and they would always have headings there that had these eternal truths, like the one that you just gave. But that is how children learned, you know, that it's better to give than to receive, and all of this sort of thing, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. These ideas were eternal truths. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Arlene Kula. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And Arlene has written a book called By Stealth and Deception. It deals, of course, with the European Union. It deals with, of course, the effort to have the North American security and prosperity zone. And basically what it means is foregoing our sovereignty and giving us the same sorts of freedom and prosperity that the peasants have in Mexico. That is the purpose of the people who are running our country today, because they brought this corrupt government to power in Mexico, and they want to join America. That's why they won't enforce the border laws. That's why they won't enforce the immigration laws. That's why they won't build a fence. They want a multicultural society. They want to join us with Mexico and give us the same freedom and prosperity that, of course, the rulers of Mexico have given their people. We're moving towards a two-tiered society where freedom as we've known it will simply become a remembrance of things past. Now, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Orlean, I want you to give your website. I want you to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your excellent book.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The website is www.bystealthanddeception.com, all written out. And that will tell you a little bit more about the book and the prices and also how you can order it. Or you can also go directly to the publisher, and the publisher is Ex Libris, just the big capital X, LIBRIS. And the phone number for Ex Libris is 888-795-4274. And then you have...
But you always have to give your telephone number twice.
That's right. 888-795-4274. And then you ask for extension 7876. And then I also found out last week that the book is now available on Amazon.com. So you can
all right, fine. That's the easiest way probably to get it would be to go to Amazon.com and ask for Orlene Kohler Stealth and Deception. That's probably that should get you there. I just put in your search engine, Amazon Stealth and Deception, or Amazon Orlene Kohler.
And you first need buy. So buy Stealth and Deception.
Buy Stealth and Deception. Well, Chris, with the search engine, fortunately, you don't have to put in all the words. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But it's amazing how far this process is underway. Now, things have been sort of pushed in the background by all the financial problems, the other problems. But believe me, the people on the other side have not given up the idea because of their intense hatred for America, their desire to impoverish our people. So basically, it's only a temporary setback. They will continue until they've eventually accomplished their goal, the one world order, the one world religion, the destruction of Christianity. Because what energizes this whole thing is the hatred for Christianity and Judaism. You go right ahead, Orlene.
That's so true. I have in one of the beginning chapters, I show the poster that they were using to promote the European Union is actually a poster of the Tower of Babel being rebuilt. And they kind of forget that it was Heavenly Father that caused the Tower of Babel to be stopped and broke up the countries and put them into nations. And it's God that believes in nations, and I give several scriptures. In fact, I think there were 44 scriptures I found in the Bible that tells how God promotes righteous nations, but it is Satan who wants to destroy nations. But the European Union forgets about that, and I also have a picture of how their new parliament building that is created in France looks almost exactly like the Tower of Babel. They tried to recreate it for this parliament building. So they very much believe in the world government that King Nimrod was trying to promote back when he was building the Tower of Babel.
And I think that's such an important point. People don't understand the historical significance of what's going on. The people on the other side do. They understand that they are completing the Tower of Babel that Nimrod wanted to accomplish. The people who are doing this understand the strong spiritual implications of uniting the world in violation of God's admonition almost 4,000 years ago when, of course, that Nimrod was building the Tower of Babel. And, of course, God intervened, caused people to speak different languages, and then, of course, be dispersed throughout the world. But that, of course, was God's plan. And these people have been working for 4,000 years or more to thwart God's plan. And so this is why, of course, they will utilize this picture of the incomplete Tower of Babel to represent the European Union. You can actually see in Orlean's book pictures of this poster that was printed probably in the 1600s, 1700s, about the incomplete Tower of Babel. And if you go to Strasbourg today, you can actually see the building where, of course, the European Parliament meets, and it is constructed as a replica of the incomplete Tower of Babel. And it should be so obvious to everybody. In fact, out in front is a picture of a woman riding a beast. And of course, these are all biblical implications. They understand what they're doing. Isn't it amazing that so few Americans understand what this is really all about or what the ultimate end result is going to be unless there are enough Americans who have the courage to take a stand? Because there are not very many people on the other side. They're just very well organized, they're very wealthy, and they hold the positions of power. But they do it only because the public does not understand. But you go right ahead, Orlene.
The last chapter of my book actually has all of the quotes from these elitists who truly think that they have it made now, and no longer are they even hiding their agenda. They are so blatant, and it's amazing how many quotes where they talk about creating a one-world government, and that this is really what they have been about from the very beginning. So if anyone doubts this, it's straight from the horse's mouth now. They are no longer hiding it.
And, of course, the thing is that they think that this is a fait accompli. In fact, they've come right forward. And suddenly Henry Kissinger talks about the New World Order. And suddenly President Bush talked about the New World Order. And President Herbert Walker Bush talked about it. And suddenly Tony Blair of England, Prime Minister, and George Brown, the new Prime Minister over there in Great Britain, or was until he was recently removed, understand these people are so blatant about what they're doing. They want a world government, and of course the Americans who are involved in this are frankly subversive. This is a treasonous act. They want to destroy our nation. But of course, as long as nobody can bring charges against them, as long as they control the court system, as long as they control those the people who are on the Supreme Court, why, nobody is going to be able to speak out against them. And they have the power of government. And, of course, they have the spy agencies, and they simply kill their opponents. And, ladies and gentlemen, these people are ruthless. They have no sense of right or wrong because they worship a different god. And they see nothing wrong with killing world leaders who oppose them. And that's the story of John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. That was what they found when they had the church committee hearings back in the 1977 period. But these people are in key positions of power in both political parties and make mockery of the democratic process. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and you go right ahead.
What you just spoke about, there's actually a group of these elitists who have formed, and they call themselves the Good Club because they think they are such good people. And their whole objective is what they consider one of the world's greatest problems, and that is overpopulation. So their objective is to stop population. And some of the people who belong are, of course, David Rockefeller, Warren Buffett, George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City, Ted Turner, and Oprah Winfrey. And they are the wealthiest people in the world. They think that they have great high ideals as they are going to try to bring about population control.
But they really do intend to kill off most of the people in the world. This is the incredible thing about this. And of course, you can go up on the Internet and you'll see articles from places like The Guardian now. Certainly, if you saw this in a publication of the John Birch Society or something else, why you might be able to discount it. But here's the Guardian, a very well-reputable British publication, talking about the Good Club. It is the most elite club in the world, it says. Ordinary people need not apply. Indeed, there's no way to ask to join. You simply have to be very, very rich and very, very generous on a global scale. And, of course, then they talk about how this has all to do with population control. Ladies and gentlemen, they really do intend to kill off most of the people in the world, if you doubt that. All you have to do is go to Elberton, Georgia, and see the occult monument there. And the fact that the media never tells you about that, they do not want you to know they intend to kill over 90% of the world's population. When you understand that, maybe you can understand why we're going to war, and very, very soon. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And go up on the Internet and just type in The Good Club. Go right ahead.
I also wanted to mention that this was written up in the Sunday Times of London, May 5th, 2009. So it made it in not just the New American Magazine or something else, but many other publications are talking about it. But I'm glad you mentioned those Georgia Guidestones, because I also have a picture of them in my chapter on the world religion that they are trying to create. And that is amazing. I think you were the first one that let me know that those guidestones even existed. And when you see what is written on them, you know that this is not a joke. These people are very serious about their intention to destroy populations. Right on the guidestone, it says that the population will be limited to 500 million people.
maintain the population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. The thing is that these people are deadly serious. They know what they're doing. This is an occult monument put up by the Rosicrucians, a secret society. It was put up by a man who called himself R.C. Christian. He was a Rosicrucian, and of course this Rosicrucian movement ties in to this whole world occult movement, which includes the people from the Good Club, and certainly the Rockefeller family has been involved with the occult. As I said, the Rothschild family, and certainly J.P. Morgan, and Henry Ford was deeply involved in theosophy. But this whole background of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes put together was involved in the occult. And most people don't even understand what the occult is today. They think it's something that, oh, it has to do with Halloween. It doesn't. These people are deadly serious. Some of the richest people in the world are deeply involved in this world occult movement, and they have their wealth because they have sold their souls. Go right ahead, Orlene.
Well, I highly recommend your book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, because that was a very eye-opening book for me to read, to tell about all these groups that really do belong to the occult, and that is one of their objectives, is a world religion, a limited population, and to put us down and to the level of serfs while they are elevated to our lords and kings over us. And they truly want to destroy the middle class and have a two-tier society. And they're very blatant about it. They think that would be the ideal world, of course, for them, but not for the rest of us. And what that will do to our United States Constitution, everything about our country that our founding fathers created for us, they would like to destroy all of that.
And, you know, I think they talk about, you know, ego. They call themselves the Good Club as if somehow these people who create the wars and revolutions and murder and violence and torture are somehow good people. I mean, suddenly they're the ones who are behind the terrible things that happened over in Iraq to innocent people. But they see nothing wrong with it because they are above the law. They're above the man's law, and many of them think they're above God's law. But I've got news for them. They're in for a big surprise when they stand before the great white throne of judgment. Because that, of course, if you read the Revelation, is the judgment of the damned. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Orlene Kula. We're talking about her book, By Stealth and Deception. And that is exactly what they're doing, is they're bringing about this North American Union, this security and prosperity community. Go ahead, Orlene.
It's called the Security and Prosperity Partnership. But what's so interesting, if you used to could Google fpp.gov, well, you still can. It still exists on the website, but it says that no further information will be added to this. It's now just an archive. So they truly are trying to make it appear that it's over and done with, that this is all in the past. Robert Pastor, I have a whole chapter on him. He was called the father of the North American Union. He used to be a professor at the American University in Washington, D.C. He no longer is there. The department that he was the head of is shut down, and he is off of supposedly writing a book and part of a group called the Global Elders. And so they're pretending that, you know, this is all over with. You have nothing to fear. But the enemy has always believed in taking one step backwards while they take two steps forward. They're continuing to lay the foundation, getting everything, all their ducks lined up in a row. And part of that is to have our nation totally transformed to a socialist state. And under Obama, that is happening faster than we could have ever have dreamed possible. So now we are on the same page with our socialized medicine as Canada and Mexico. Pretty soon we'll probably be on the same page with our energy. One of the goals of the Security Prosperity Partnership was to harmonize all of the American laws with Canada and Mexico, and we were to have a energy law that was harmonized with theirs. So that's probably what all this cap and trade will be about. And, of course, we were to harmonize our constitution with their form of government. Their form of government is a parliament. So Robert Pastor was having students from universities come and learn the parliamentary procedure system of government rather than our wonderful form of government.
And, of course, the people don't understand that when we talk about democracy, what you really mean is a system where, of course, whatever the government says, why, as long as it's done majority consent, is perfectly all right. But, of course, we are not a democracy. The miracle of America was we were a republic where the power of government was to be limited so men could be free. These people, these global elders, these elitists, don't want freedom. They want to tell you that, oh, my goodness, we're a democracy, and whatever the government tells you to do, you will do it, because we're a government of law, and we've got the military and police behind us, and we'll force you to do it.
And it was so interesting. The word democracy was never even used until maybe around 1930, as the globalists started promoting this more and more. But I actually cite in my book a military training manual that was written before 1930, and how they mention democracy is another word you can use for communism. They had the right idea, and they were explaining that to the military back then. And of course, now our young people in our public schools are taught that we are a constitutional democracy, and they never even use the word republic anymore unless it is to pledge allegiance to the flag. That republic is not really explained to them, so they think we are a democracy, and that is not at all. Democracy is the rule of the majority, just like mob rule. And I think Benjamin Franklin explained it best. He said that a democracy is two wolves and a lamb sitting down together for lunch, and a republic is a well-armed lamb who will be able to stand up for his own rights because he has the protection of a rule of law behind him. And that our young people are not taught this definition at all.
Well, I think if you go send it to Bartlett's quotations, you'll find the quotation from Plato's Republic, where Plato said democracies always deteriorate into despotism. Democracies always deteriorate into despotism. I have a little pamphlet we put out called We Are a Republic, and you have to understand the difference between a republic and a democracy. So the democracies always are eventually destroyed and replaced by a tyranny. Our founding fathers knew that. They'd studied what had happened in ancient Rome. They'd studied what had happened in ancient Greece. They'd read the writings of Aristotle and Plato, and certainly Plato wrote in his Republic that democracies don't work. Of course, he wanted to bring about a government under the control of one man. He really was what people do not understand about Plato is he was deeply involved in the occult. He was a disciple of the mystery religions. He had two messages, one for the elite and one for the common people. And when you go to college, why, you're going to get the message for the common people. You are not to be allowed to know what the message for the elite is, and the message for the elite is we're moving into a one world government. That's what it was all about. That's what Plato wanted. That's what Aristotle wanted. That's why Alexander the Great, who was Aristotle's pupil, set out to rule the world, to capture the whole world, and he did conquer the whole known world at that time. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan Orlean. I want to thank you so much for writing your book, By Stealth and Deception, and we'll look forward to talking to you real soon.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. I look forward to also having you be one of the speakers at our Constitution Day celebration, September 18th.
I'm looking forward to it. And again, you can get the book, By Stealth and Deception. It's well worthwhile getting and reading. It's available at Amazon.com. God bless, and thanks very much, Arlene.
God bless you, too. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye. Well, I hope you're out there listening on this. You enjoyed this because it's vitally important. It's an excellent book. A lot of good references you won't get elsewhere. She's done a great job of putting this all together for you. So, By Stealth and Deception, by our guest this evening, Orlean Kula. Well, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We do need your help. Things are a little tight recently because so many of our regular and long-term listeners and supporters are having financial problems. So if you're in a position to step forward and help them, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-544-8927. Let me mention my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you need to get it. It will explain to you how it all fits together. And then, of course, we do hope many of you will want to get the new DVDs put out by Alex Jones, The Invisible Empire and Police State 4. Invisible Empire, Police State 4. We hope you want to get our DVD by Patrick Wood. It's called The Trilateral Commission. To see how this fits together, you certainly would want to get Constance Cumby's excellent DVD, The Emergence, and my four interviews with her on CD or tape entitled The Aquarian Conspiracy, because there really is a conspiracy out there. They will openly acknowledge there's a conspiracy, and their intent is to destroy the world we live in and replace Christianity with the religion that they follow, which, of course, is the worship of Lucifer. Many of them know this. They know exactly what they're doing. And if you listen to Constance, she will tell you of her conversations with these people as they express their hatred for God, the God of the Bible, and, of course, the hatred for the Bible. And understand, of course, that there really is a vast movement out across America. These people say they believe in God. I mean, if you look at the back of the dollar bill, it says, "In God we trust." But what God are they talking about? Why, of course, look at the emblem there, the unfinished pyramid capped by the triangle with the all-seeing eye. That's the symbol of the ancient mystery religions. What's it doing on the back of the dollar bill? It was put there by a man deeply involved in the occult. His name was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and his secretary of the agriculture, Henry Wallace, who was a theosophist and a Luciferian. And this was the man who led America into World War II, telling the American people, "I hate war. Eleanor hates war. Even little Fala hates war. Why, no American boy, I promise you, no American boy will ever die on foreign soil." And he'd already made the plans to plunge us into a war. Just as today, they're making plans to plunge us into a war with Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, get on the radio. Tell people the war is coming. I don't know what sort of an incident they're going to use, how they're going to justify it. But believe me, they want a war with Iran. And at this time, it's insane. When you start a war, you never know how that war is going to end. Hope and pray that the war doesn't come to pass. Pray for the people over there in the Middle East. Pray for our brave soldiers over there. Many are going to die and are going to be used as cannon fodder by these elitists, the good club, the members of the good club, the members of the elite, who have a different world view because they worship a different God, and they want a one-world government and a one-world order and a one-world religion. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Sydney, we hope you'll go to our webpage, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs on the Internet. They're 9 hours a day. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get it and get it to other people. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.